days of Thanksgiving, let us make a joyful noise. Put to him the songs of praise.
Said this parable, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop a hundredfold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Then his disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. At that time Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "The Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me I have kept, and none of them is lost, except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have joy, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As the Lord explains to his disciples, the seed is the Word of God. Now the seed, as the Word of God, is both the body of teaching about God, but it is also the Lord God Jesus Christ himself. The seed is singular, as is the Word of God. There's only one Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one true teaching of Jesus Christ. Yet the seed falls onto the ground as many seeds. And from the Lord Jesus Christ, the one Word of God, come forth many words in the form of doctrines, prayers, icons, liturgical movements, many other forms. Precisely this ambiguity of the Word of God is both Jesus Christ himself and the teaching of the Church reveals the mystical content of the seed that the sower sowed. As the one Lord Jesus Christ, the seed is like the sun that is one. Yet it sends out many rays that fall indiscriminately everywhere on the earth. The rays of the sun are countless, yet they all shine with the one light and warmth of the sun, giving light and warmth to all. But precisely where does the seed fall from? Obviously, it falls from God the Father, because the sower who sows the seed is the only begotten Son of the Father. But this same seed of God, Jesus Christ, in another place, likens himself to the seed that, in order to bear fruit, must be buried in the ground and die. Listen to this hymn to the Theotokos from the Matins of last Wednesday. A noetic light, that is to say a spiritual, immaterial light, shone forth on the cross, thy Son, O all pure one, rebuking the prince of darkness and darkening the sun, he illumined the fullness of the faithful. Like the seed of the sower falling on the ground from above, like so many rays of light, the true light shone forth from the cross, and his light fell on the world from his death on the cross. And so it falls indiscriminately on everyone, because everyone lives in the darkness of death. We are given now to see that the seed falls on us not only from above, but also from below. For the seed is God the Word, who is from the Father above, and who in his becoming flesh of the Holy Virgin comes to us also now from his tomb, from within our death, from within us, from within our heart, where, as St. Paul says, we were dead in our sins and trespasses. What nonsense is this to proclaim that God died and that he was buried? The God of the Bible is not the one of philosophy or mathematics. This is the God who was born of a virgin, the one foretold by the prophets, the one seen in a vision by the prophets. Born of a virgin who became flesh, he became flesh precisely in order to die. Why? Because God is love. We cannot understand the oneness and the threeness of God in terms of philosophy or mathematics. God transcends all of that. And the scriptures does not say God is math. God is philosophy. It says God is love. Out of his love, the Word of God emptied himself and came down from heaven like a seed falling to the ground. And he clothed himself in the earth of our flesh, even as far as death on the cross. That is to say, he denied himself. He took up his cross, and he lost his life. As he says on the cross, this is perhaps the moment that he died. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because that's what death is. It's to be separated from God. So he lost his life that he might find his life in us. As St. Paul says, this is the mystery of God that was hidden from ages and generations and is now revealed to the saints. It is the mystery of Christ in you. Christ in your death. Christ in the tomb of your heart. We were made in God's image and likeness. And so he was not ashamed to call us his brothers and sisters, as St. Paul says in Hebrews. He partook of our flesh and blood. He became like us, precisely so that he could become one with us in his death on the cross, so that through his death he might destroy the power of death and deliver us from our captivity to death. This mighty act of God is the one wordless word of God that all the words of his holy church proclaim. It is the wordless word that every seed of the sower carries. The word of God then falls like so many paschal seeds. Seeds that carry each one the full power and mystery of our Lord's holy Pascha. They fall like onto the ground of our heart from above. They fall onto the ground of our heart from below. They fall on our soul, whether our soul is hard or soft, whether our soul is believing or unbelieving, whether we love the darkness or we love the light. Listen again to some words, some seeds of the church that carry the seed, the word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, taken again from the matins of this last week. These are from Thursday morning matins. O holy apostles of Christ, plows of the word, cultivate now my soul which has grown hard through the passions, and make it fertile with a seed of repentance. O apostles of Christ, gardeners of the Savior, the seed of God, bearing the cross on your shoulders as a plow, and having cleared the earth made hard by the deception of idolatry, you sowed the word of faith. Brothers and sisters, is our heart hard? Is our heart on the wayside? Is it among the thorns? Are we choked by the cares and pleasures of this life? Are we lacking roots? The word of God is falling on us indiscriminately, whoever we are, whatever kind of soil we are. He is falling on us in the words of his holy apostles, the words of his holy Catholic and apostolic church. What prevents us from receiving this word that is carried in the words of the church? What prevents us from cleaving to it? What prevents us from doing it so that the seed of God can send forth his roots in us and begin to work his salvation in us, breaking up the hardness of our heart, withering up the roots of the weeds and thorns of the passions, and with the plow of repentance, that is his cross, the ascetical disciplines of the church, make our heart into good ground, soft and ready to receive the seed, so that in patience, that is to say, in perseverance, and in resolve, we can bring forth fruit. What fruit? The fruit that is the life of Christ's holy resurrection. Because the words of the church are the seeds of God that carry the seed, the word of God, they are saturated with the Holy Spirit of God. They have divine power to put to death our death and everything in us that separates us from God. We need simply to receive them, wherever we are, whatever kind of ground we are, and begin to do them as we are able, according to our strength, according to our circumstances. Receive them in love. Do them in longing for God, the only lover of mankind. Do them in visceral desire for the source of all beauty and goodness. Simply receive them and do them as you can. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who will begin to work his salvation in the midst of the earth, that is, in the midst of the earth of your soul and body. It is his Holy Spirit who will begin to work in you and begin transfiguring your dying and your death into a dying that is to death, and fills our death with the Lord Jesus Christ himself, God with us, thereby healing our death, so that even though we die, we live, because whether in death or in life, we are with God. We cannot make our hearts into good and fertile ground. You need a plow to make hard ground soft. We need the cross to make the ground of our heart soft. We need repentance, the tears of repentance. We need the ascetical disciplines of the church. We need to be doing them. Those are the cross. Those are the plow of the cross given to us that we can begin making our heart soft. So we cannot make our hearts into good and fertile ground, but we can receive this seed of God. We can listen to the words of the Word. We can cleave to them. We can hold them tightly to our heart and refuse to let them go. This we can do, regardless of what kind of ground we are. If we want life, if we want joy, if we want God, let us strive to be disciples of the sower. And learn from him, learn from his holy church, how to become gardeners of his seed and turn our hearts into a tomb for the Savior, a tomb that receives the seed of God down into her depths and opens onto the garden of the crucified God's holy resurrection. Amen. Most holy Theotokos, save us. Glory to Jesus Christ. Thank you.